done to Health Talk Radio Africa, the show that inspires you to improve your health, educates you on health and nutrition issues. We offer practical tips on daily living so you can have better health. I am your host, Dr. Mary Mugambi, a doctor in nutritional sciences, talking to you from the city in the sun, Nairobi, Kenya. To Health Talk Radio Africa. We thank you for the gift of your time for this season 2 show. A new pandemic has engulfed the entire world. People all over the world are in different stages of the coronavirus pandemic, resulting in many governments ordering people to stay indoors for long periods of time. We all have read the headlines about panic buying. Entire chains of supermarkets have been stripped bare. No food left. In the Horn of Africa, Eastern and now Central Africa, we have an additional problem to the coronavirus pandemic. A problem that began a few months before the pandemic began. And it will not go away anytime soon, listeners. The catastrophe is called desert locusts. Yes, locusts, desert locusts are back after more than 30 years. As we record this podcast, locusts are eating their way through India and Pakistan. Giant swarms of locusts have flown in from Yemen and invaded the Horn of Africa, entering Somalia, Ethiopia, Sudan, Kenya, and now Uganda. And sadly, in Kenya, the pests have eaten food crops, shrubs, pasture, and all the leaves on the trees in 23 counties. 23 counties. They leave nothing but bare soil as they fly off to the next areas to feed. Listeners, we should be worried. What are we going to eat? That is a question that we are asking in whispers. Because thanks to climate change, the locusts have found the perfect breeding conditions. The swarms have laid eggs and they have hatched, creating even bigger swarms. The entomologists or insect experts have reported that one of the smallest swarms of locusts in Kenya is 7 kilometers wide. Can you believe that? 7 kilometers wide with an estimated 40 million mature locusts. These locusts do not need visas to cross borders. They do not need to enter an aeroplane to fly. A single locust can eat 3 times its body weight in 1 day, and then it flies off to start feeding again. Now multiply that by swarms that are several kilometers wide and long. Listeners, when approaching an area, the locusts look like dark clouds. Can you believe that? Not rain clouds, but just dark clouds. In 1 day, a swarm of locusts can eat food that can feed 35,000 people. That's just 1 day. A swarm of locusts can eat food that can feed 35,000 people. You heard me right. 35,000 people. For now, it is a losing battle in these countries of Kenya, Uganda, Ethiopia, Somalia, and Sudan. The swarms of locusts are growing, doubling in size and spreading. It is just a matter of time before they cross borders into more African countries. That is sad, just sad. Just before the locusts invaded, many countries in East, Central, and Southern Africa experienced drought and flooding in quick succession. For a long time in 2019, several countries were experiencing drought. The rains did not come on time, and when they finally came, there was flooding, destroying food crops. That spelled doom for our agricultural rich areas. Countries across Eastern and Southern Africa reported massive crop losses. I have a newspaper cutting dating back to 2019 November. The headline reads, "Drought hit Southern Africa, 45 million people in Southern Africa face hunger." 45 million. There have been similar news on drought in Eastern and Central Africa. Now, even the wildlife is not spared. Wow! News of entire herds of animals such as elephants dying due to hunger used to make headlines, but not anymore. The last significant headline reported as many as 200 elephants died within months of each other due to the worst drought in over 25 years in Southern Africa. 200 elephants. Now remember, it takes 2 years to make a baby elephant. 2 years. So if we lose 200 elephants as a continent, that's is really catastrophic. Another newspaper cutting read, "Heavy rains cause huge crop losses." Listeners, does this sound familiar to you? Drought, floods, locusts, does that sound familiar? A friend of mine and I joked that the Africans in this 21st century are experiencing the biblical plagues of locusts, drought, and flooding. Of course, we laughed. We really laughed. But I can tell you, listeners, it was not a laughing matter when I went to the supermarket in the vegetable section. No, it was not a laughing matter. The place was practically empty. Even the well-stocked high-end supermarkets were not much better. It was not a laughing matter when I went to the open-air market and the cost of many vegetables had increased and many vegetables were not available. The everyday basics were so expensive and in little supply. I could feel tears coming as I had to part with more money for less food. A few months ago, at the height of the heavy rains at the supermarket, I used to joke with the shop assistant that the excessive rains were destroying the vegetables and that those that were available were of poor quality. On this day, as the locusts were eating away at the crops in the counties, all three supermarket assistants at the vegetable section were sitting idle, completely idle. And when I asked them, "Why is this place so bare?" Listeners, I knew the answer even before they spoke. The answer was, the supplier did not show up. There was no food in the farms he usually buys from. The markets in the counties had little food. It was clear. Drought, floods, and the locusts got to the vegetables first. The vegetable supplier was now visiting other counties that have not been invaded by locusts. Listeners, a few days ago, there was a knock on my door. A colleague had come unannounced. Nothing could have prepared me for her request. She had just come from the market. Her budget was not enough to absorb the shock of prices for basic vegetables such as onions, carrots, and spinach. In tears, she asked me, how can she protect her family from lack of food or high food prices that are in the local market or supermarket? What is it that you do in your home? She asked frantically. Then she went on even before I could answer. You live in an urban area. You have no kitchen garden or any garden to cultivate anything. Yet you have food the entire month. Are you so wealthy that you are immune to the high food prices in the market? Huh? It took me a while to calm my dear friend. It took me a while to calm her down. I reassured her that I was neither wealthy nor immune to the ever-increasing cost of food. It is highly unlikely that there is anyone who is immune to the increasing cost of food and fuel. As sure as the sun rises from the east, the cost of food will increase much higher as the locusts eat away the food supply in our farms. But what do you do? My friend insisted. Open your kitchen to me. Open your kitchen. Show me all the survival tricks you use to make sure that you have food on your table, even when your salary is delayed by several weeks. What do you do? She said in between sobs. So listeners out there, the same survival tricks I taught my close friend to ensure there is food for the whole month in my home. In other words, to combat food insecurity at the household level are now the focus of our discussion today. Today's podcast is on how the urban family can fight food insecurity at the household level. Not the national, just the household level. Listeners, during times of plenty, you must think and plan for the days when there will be scarcity. That is when the pocket is completely empty and payday has been delayed. One must have what I call a food reserve box. I will explain what that is in a minute. Listeners, take advantage of the microeconomy that is present in our beautiful African continent. Urban families depend on supermarkets and many times the neighborhood street vegetable vendor. While doing your shopping, stock up on dry goods that are in small packets. For example, if you usually buy 1 kilogram packet of rice, buy another 0.5 kilogram or 0.25 kilogram. Do the same for all the dry goods that you normally buy, such as beans, wheat flour, maize flour, dried maize, pasta, many others. Even cooking oil, buy the small micro bottles. Okay, yes, I know cost is an issue, but you do not have to buy everything at once. 1 week, buy a packet of beans. 1 week, buy an extra packet of rice. For dairy products, such as which are fast-moving items in an urban home, always stock up on the 0.5-liter packets of long-life milk. Long-life milk does not require refrigeration. Start by stocking up 2 or even 3 packets per week, in addition to what you normally buy. Other times, stock up on powdered milk. Once you reach home, listeners, take all these small packets, all the small packets of 1/2 kilogram of dry goods and the packets of long life milk. Then store them in a cardboard box in a dry, cool place, such as a cupboard, out of sight in a place that is hard to reach. Every week, add up to this stock. By the 4th week of the month, when the family funds are definitely running low, the reserve food box definitely comes in handy to cushion the urban family. Having those extra small packets of different beans always ensures that the children in the urban family have a source of plant protein when the family funds are low. Yes, the 3rd and 4th week of the month is when the quality of the family meals tend to become poorer and poorer. The same can be said for the extra packets of long life milk. One can get very, very creative with a food reserve box. Having extra cans of canned beans, canned fruits, canned vegetables have been shown to help urban families during financial stress. Perishables or food that go rotten very quickly can also be put in storage for several weeks. For example, when you buy green vegetables such as spinach or kale, you can buy enough for a week or two. Wash them, shred them up, then blanch them. How do you blanch? You boil water, place the shredded spinach or green vegetables in a bowl, and then pour the boiled water onto the spinach and let it stand for 4 minutes. Drain the vegetables, let them cool down. Then once they are cooled down, place them in the storage bags and deep freeze. Blanching of green vegetables preserves the vitamins, destroys the enzymes that cause discoloration. Freezing the blanched vegetable also preserves their color and flavor. When it's time to cook the vegetables, just defrost them and continue to cook as you would normally cook fresh vegetables. During a bumper crop of maize or green beans or even regular beans, buy a few extra kilograms because prices are much lower. When you get home, boil them, drain them, and package them in family-sized freezer bags and then deep freeze. Taking advantage of fruits and vegetables in season also saves a lot of money. For example, when mangoes are in season in Eastern Africa, drying them can ensure that children in the family have dried fruit for many weeks, long after the season is over, and even when the family funds are low. This can be achieved using a homemade solar dryer. Yes, listeners, I can hear you saying something like this. Yeah, right. How is an urban family that lives in a crammed apartment block supposed to dry fruit and vegetables? We live in the concrete jungle, for God's sake. That's what you're saying. The answer is this. Make a wooden frame that can hold your oven racks. Take it to the carpenter. Cover the wooden frame with clear polythene. Then slice your fruit such as mangoes into slices, place them on the oven racks or trays. Place this covered wooden frame, which has the oven trays, out in the sun for 8 hours. Even on an empty car park will do. We get sunshine for 12 hours in a day in Africa. Inside the clear polythene wooden frame, temperature will increase. The heat will dry the sliced fruits, preserving vitamins. Then the dried fruit can be packaged and stored in a dry, cool place. during dry seasons or when drought strikes, or also when the family funds are low, there will be fruit for the family. To dry vegetables, blanch them as previously discussed, drain them completely, then place them on the oven trays inside the polythene-covered wooden frame. Again, the wooden frame should be placed in the sun for several hours. This dries the vegetables and preserves their vitamins. Package the vegetables into individual family-sized bags. Store the dried vegetables in a cool place and cook them as you would normally fresh vegetables. Green leafy vegetables such as spinach, kale, and even the traditional vegetables from your village are really great for drying. Drying vegetables gives a big boost to a family's food supply during times of scarcity. Drying of vegetables can be a boost for urban families which do not even have access to a freezer, or you have erratic supply of electricity. Recently, listeners, I had the privilege to observe communities that dry and smoke fish. These communities live near lakes and even at the coastline. The skill of drying and smoking fish and meat is a skill that one can learn and use even in the urban setting. For now, I would recommend stocking up on dried fish and storing the dried fish or meat in a dry, cool place. Again, drying of food gives the urban family a big boost during the lean times. Listeners, remember the issue of food security for a country can be tackled at the national level. However, with these few tips I've just given you, you can stretch your food supply for the entire month. That means you will be food secure for the month. Oh, listeners, how quickly time flies. That is all I have for you today. I welcome your comments on this program. Just drop me an email at healthtalkradioafrica@gmail.com. Again, that is healthtalkradioafrica@gmail.com. Listeners, until next time, eat healthy so you can live healthy. Bye for now. Bye-bye. At Health Talk Radio Africa. I hope you have enjoyed today's program and will join us for the next episode. If you have any questions or comments, contact me directly via email, which is healthtalkradioafrica@gmail.com. Remember, at Health Talk Radio Africa, we discuss health and nutrition issues that affect Africa. We offer practical solutions from the experts. Please subscribe to the program and share with friends. This way the program can be more visible and help as many people as possible. I am your host, Dr. Mary Mugambi, wishing you a fantastic time.